constraints and stuff. Right, so thank you organizers for inviting me. And also they will regret this because I'm not going to say anything about BB, maybe towards the end, type of speculations. But I sort of decided to talk about the stuff I'm working, but in a way, towards the end you will see it's relevant to BB, to gauge series, whatever you want. So because, you know, the audience, there is not so many string theory people, so I will try to do it more pedagogical fashion and then basically try to derive, certain results only for toy model and then try to tell you what's going on for more complicated models. So, so first of all, let me start from motivation. So what people realized through a lot of experience that, you know, there exists, certain things we can calculate exactly in the gauge theories, typically supersymmetric gauge theories. We can calculate partition functions, we can calculate Wilson loops, we can calculate some defects, and typically, you know, we can build out of this object different type of generating functions, etc. Quite often, whatever quantity we get, so exact quantity in gauge theory, has surprisingly totally different descriptions, and typically it can be written as something to do with the 2D free fields, typically free fields or something related. So I don't know why, what's a deep reason for this, but in practice, I mean, we can always do this, and this goes under the name typically BPS CFT correspondence. So whatever we can count in gauge theory, we can also write as a free fields, and I will try to, you know, explain you and tell you more, and in a way maybe it's built in. So let me start with a very toy model. So typically when we have to do path integrals, right, so we have to calculate the integral, for example, like this, from minus infinity to infinity f of x dx, which is number, okay? Of course, we have a word identity for this integral, which is just substituting full derivative under this guy, which is correct statement, but pretty empty statement. Okay, in a way, I cannot deduce anything about this number. So instead of typically what people would do is that instead of calculating this integral as a number, you would like to trade this for generating functions. So you would like to build, all possible integral somewhere. So instead of this, I will introduce the following object. So this is a very toy example, but it's nice because you can solve it explicitly. So for example, let me write the following thing. So I will write integral from infinity to infinity dx e minus 1 over g x squared plus tn over n factorial xn, and run it from 0 to infinity, for example, or from 1. Okay? So formally, I can generate all these integrals. Again, there is certain issues of convergence, etc. But, you know, formally, I can do it, definitely. Then what I can do now, if I put this operator, so if I put something more complicated, so this model, I will solve it for you. So let me write 2 here. So what actually I can do, and that's basically the idea of Virasoro constraints, I can trade, so I would like to trade this problem of calculating integral for purely algebraic problem. So what I will do, I will introduce my operators, which is minus d x x n plus 1. And then I can write for you the following thing. So I put under the integral this guy, dx, xn plus 1, and then I will have this, minus over 2g, x squared plus ts over s factorial xs, for example. So this is identically 0, of course. Okay. Now this, guys, what I can do, I can actually hit this derivative. I will get some powers down there, and then I will trade this power there just on derivatives of Ts. So instead of this, I can eventually write the following thing. So I will have some differential operators, ln, so which depends on derivatives of t, acting on my object zeta of g of t equal to zero. So just to give you example how it looks, for example. So of course, if I want to respect convergence of my integral, I would like to say that my n starts from minus one, etc. So this is example that's nice because you actually can calculate everything. You can do it algebraically and you can actually perform this integral if you formally expand in t's. Okay, and then just to give you an idea how the operators looks for, so for example, L0 looks as a 1 minus 2 over g dt plus s from 1 to infinity s ts t ts, etc. So I can write for L minus 1, I can write ln. So it's a first order operators. So what I get infinity many PDEs for this object. So it's object of infinity many t's, etc. And I can solve them algebraically. So just out of fun, the answer is the following. So zeta of g of t is et0 2 pi g. And then you have pi from 0 to infinity, 1 over pi factorial bp t1 t2p gp. So this is just some, this is called typically Bell polynomials. Bell polynomials. I mean, they're related to Schrupp polynomials. Okay, some concrete polynomials, etc. So now what, I mean, these exercises were nice because actually, as I said, I can do these integrals explicitly, but also, so all my operators in this toy model are first order differential operators. So in principle, another way of calculating the things is that I take zeta, I do formal expansion in t, and then I just act by these operators. I get infinity many iterative relations and you can actually solve them and you will get exactly the same things. I mean, there is certain things should be fixed. I mean, this overall factor you cannot fix algebraically. Okay? Okay, this is a toy model. So let me try to go to something more complicated where field theory appearing, and that's basically the classical example of Virasoro constraints. So let's take a next model of level of complication. So typically this is called Hermitian matrix model. So now I would, again, I'm interested to calculate concrete integrals, but I will trade this to introducing some generating function again. So I will just write, I will integrate over space over Lie algebra, U and Lie algebra. So which is space of Hermitian matrices with a Lebesgue measure. And then I will put here sum over Tn over trace of Mn. I can put here Gaussian weight with sign. This is a sign minus, just to make sure. So this is a Lie algebra. So for mathematicians, typically space of anti-Hermitian matrices, physicists like to put them Hermitian. Okay. And of course, this you know, measure is invariant under action of under adjoint action of UN. So equivalently, if I actually write this measure, any matrix by adjoint action, I can diagonalize. So this is the same. I can write these things as the following integral. So this is integral over Rn. Then I have dn lambda. And then here I will have I not equal to j, lambda I minus lambda j. And then here I have sum over n from 0 to infinity tn lambda I in power n I from 1 to n. So again, concretely, we're interested to take when not for arbitrary t, you write Gaussian weight, for example, you write, I don't know, m cube, m4, etc., and you would like to calculate this model. So again, you can try to do exactly the same trick as before. So the idea is the following, that you would like to have a full set of word identities which trade me this integral for a PDE problem. Again, in future, in general, it will not be necessary PDE. The difference equations will IP, etc. Okay, so for example, the very natural operators I can put there is the following operator. So I can put operator ln I from 1 to n minus d lambda I, lambda I n plus 1. So of course, these operators from one side, they satisfy just Virasoro algebra without any central extension. From another side, if I put this onto the integral, this is identically zero. Okay. So what I'm doing is I'm writing my integral over n, that I will have d and lambda. I put my operator ln, and whatever I have is zero. Okay. So then the exercise I have to do, this is a bit more complicated. You have to play with this van der Mond determinant. But again, the idea that you have hit by derivatives, you write everything very, very explicitly. And then eventually you use some identities and you would like to write this. So you trade the thing as some operators, differential operators, acting on this object. So if you do the exercise, then the operators will start to look the following: L minus 1, k from 0 to infinity, tk dt k minus 1, L0 is k from 1 to infinity, KTK and then there will be operator ln. So again, here, just for me to make sense, I would like, if I put this integral and I want this to keep converging, I will restrict my n to more than equal than minus 1. And then here I will get k from 0 to n, n minus k factorial. So this is now operators become second order. K factorial. So I'm writing them explicitly because in a moment I want to make certain point. Okay, so this is for n more than 1. So this is the result of certain exercise. So let me make two comments right away, which is useful because it's useful to calculate numbers once in a while. So the ability of having this constraint, that's what people did in the 90s, that so basically you can solve the model. I mean, you cannot solve, you know, write it in a closed form, but you can first orders actually write by hand, and then you can ask Mathematica to do you the rest. So for example, you can write, find the papers when people did it. So the idea is very simple, because actually what you do, take this object and you would say that, you know, it has a formal expansion in T's, right? And because of this operator of finite order, what you can do, you can add, I mean, on this expansion, so this you get cis and you get infinite many relations on cis, and you know, they're, for this particular model, they are not that complicated. And then you have to basically to know first coefficient or first two coefficients, I don't remember, and the rest can be defined. So for example, this is very useful. You would know that just certain dependencies here, only polynomial, etc. So if you start to deform, for example, here you put beta, you also may argue that certain dependencies are polynomial, so these constraints get deformed, etc. So this is, in fact, full set of word identities which allows you to solve these integrals. Again, unfortunately, you cannot do it in a closed form, but it's as good as it gets. You can actually reduce, so I mean, calculating this integral to basically one Gaussian integral, and the rest will follow. Again, the problem, of course, becomes technically complicated.
Just, I have a question here about the razor-razor. I mean, you don't see the central charge because, in some sense, your generators are, you know, all bigger.
I'm coming there. Okay. I'm coming. They will be central charge.
So in some sense, yeah.
No, they will be central
charge. The question is to ask whether we can extend it so that there's a...
No, but there is. It's already central charge here.
Okay.
So what I did is, you're absolutely correct. So what I'm doing is, I'm putting constraints, and I'm putting only basically for the hardware, I saw this to be true. Okay? So now I got these things. So that's how originally people got the things, and for some time didn't realize very obvious statement. And the statement is the following. So if I have any combination, so I have infinity many t's, I have t1, well, I have T0, T1, T2, etc., goes to infinity. And also I have their derivatives. So automatically, once I have this, I have a representation of Heisenberg algebra. So if I want to work in my convention, so for example, I can write An is equal to n factorial over 2, derivative of Tn. And then a minus n, so I assume that n is positive here. Let me not discuss zero mods for the moment. Square root of t dt. Right, I mean, so once I have formal infinity many variables.
Multiplied by tn.
Ah, sorry, I'm sorry. Yeah. Absolutely. Tn, yep, thank you. So this is Heisenberg algebra. Now, what one can do if one stares at this expression and so I stare there, that's exactly what you realize, that those guys is just ln 1 over 2 m from minus to infinity, infinity a n minus m a m. Of course, this is true for, you know, in principle, these concrete formulas I got for n more than equal 1, but what you can recognize that this is just a Virasoro constraint. Sorry, it's just Virasoro algebra, Virasoro for free boson, free chiral boson, chiral boson, and central charge as well.
So the big N doesn't enter?
Big N does not enter. So big N here, it's related, it does not enter. I will tell you what's big N in a moment. Yeah.
Okay. It enters into the shift.
Absolutely. So typically what I will do, I will trade this for the zero mods. Because here when I'm doing zero mods, so the contribution of AT will be capital N. So N, if you go to Virasoro guy, so eventually I will trade this to DDT0 second derivative. And because my dependence here from T0 is very elementary, you pull it out. Okay, so then what one realizes here, again, I started to do the integrals, but eventually what we can see is what I'm having formally the following thing. So I have phi of lambda to be sum of n a minus n lambda n. And then I have this Virasoro. So in fact, again, it's sort of surprising that people didn't realize this 25 years ago. It was, there were even wrong mistakes. But what you realize here, if you take, for example, this concrete measure, so this is again concrete example, but the pattern will persist later on. So what you realize if you take this Vandermonde, the lambda I minus lambda j, and just write this as exponent, sum of I not equal to j, you will get log lambda I minus lambda j. So log is nothing more, it's just a propagator of this color here. So eventually what you are doing there, so if you wish, you can identify, so you can introduce this object, which is called S of lambda, which is E phi of lambda. So this is called typically screening current. And then my zeta of t is becoming the following. So this is integral over d lambda 1 s of lambda 1 d lambda n s of lambda n, and I act on vacuum. So now, roughly speaking, this integral is the following. I just write these guys. I have to normal order them. That's from where these guys arises. And what I get, these exponents of t's, this is just my creator operators. So this is, comes from normal ordering. This is my just creator operator, that's it. Because I define this to be a normal ordered. Then the fact that, then you can check that ln with integral over s of lambda d lambda is just identically zero. So the fact that we got the zero sort of constraints is just the fact, I mean, that we wrote this guy and lambda and commuting, so it jumps over this, it hits zero, and that's it. Now what is important here, and this is where difference between algebra and analysis comes, because here, of course, this integral is really over line. All those arguments work as long as I choose some reasonable contour. Of course, algebra does not fix me the contour. That's why, for example, when I'm actually trying to solve these constraints, I have to sort of decide what's beginning of my expansion. That's why I cannot fix it. So again, the story is the same thing. Then you, quite often you have a PDE, you can write a solution of your PDE in terms of some integral, but you may have, depending on the contour, you may have more than one solutions, you may have infinity many, etc. Those issues you have to address. So for example, Virasoro constraints has a very nice thing that one can actually use them iteratively to solve the problem, but you know, you lose certain analytical issues. Okay? Yeah.
It is similar to the calculation by Ovenkopf and Armenta when they compute commuting invariant from the curves and they describe this Virasoro constraint.
Well, it's even before these guys, I mean, yeah, it's the thing is, it's persistent. So what people did is that typically the idea is the following, that you would like to write, so Virasoro constraints nowadays are used very loosely because it's, I would like to find, write a full set of sort of Virasoro-like constraints which fix me everything. So this is a concrete example. So this is presumably the most classical model, okay? Right, any questions? Surprisingly, besides CFT, it's also related to integrable models, which I'm not really going to discuss.
Sorry, just a naive question. So this looks like essentially the S matrix for the free scalar field in two dimensions. This mm-hmm. is not coincidence, right? I mean, you're doing something like quantizing a free scalar field up there.
Right, but what I'm trying to say, and this is strange, I mean, a priori, and I will give you more examples. A priori, my goal was to calculate this integral, integral. And then, I mean, these guys appearing.
Because that exponential of the logarithm is what I would get to, let's say,
absolutely,
construct the term or the product.
But you see, my initial goal will always not to do CFTs. Ah. My goal will do something else. But you see, what's always will happen is the following. If I start to complicate these integrals, mm-hmm. I will still have TNs, okay? Mm-hmm. So whatever guys I will put here, I'm bound, because I always have identification with Heisenberg algebra, mm-hmm. I'm bound to get Virasoro, its deformation, etc. So that happens from the fact that I will have a generating function, and generating function is basically an interpreter's element of a Fock space of this, you know, boson. Mm-hmm. But a priori, I mean, my goal is not boson. So, I mean, next example I will tell
it's
you
not
about.
A coincidence.
Well, depending which part, I mean, this part, if you just restrict to this board, there is no coincidence. Yeah. It's correct. But sort of, it's a surprise that if you want to calculate a matrix integral, it's related to this problem. Okay. Then basically the story goes on in the following way. So for example, this model you can start to deform in many different ways. So there is deformations, you can deform measure, you can, I mean, deform many things. And typically if, you know, in fact, there is nothing wholly in a log. It can become, you know, different polylogs, etc. So basically you can start to deform Heisenberg and get more exotic functions. And it's exactly, I don't know, either surprise or not, this is exactly the measures which IP engage theories. So let me give you now a concrete example, which is much less trivial. Any questions? So this is the idea. So this is a story. And again, it has a lot of, you know.
Is there a large end version of that story?
Absolutely.
Are you going to?
I'm not going to discuss it. Yeah.
But is there a large N version of that story? I mean, in the sense that.
Of course, there is a large N for Hermitian models.
Something like, I don't know, you know, there's a gauge initially, there's a matrix, there's a.
Mm-hmm. I'm guessing that's the
edge,
right? Yes. Yeah. I mean, something I'm asking a bit for more, in the sense that here the N appears just as a zero mode or something.
Right.
But it's begging for it a bit more, because if n is equal to 1, you have one boson. If n is equal to n, so there has to be an interplay in your tensor.
Right.
This is the way people think sometimes about large n gauge theories, that you know, you can get it as building blocks, so maybe.
Right.
Maybe see where
I understand, but for example, there is a number of interesting comments I can make. If I don't concentrate on this solution, I can concentrate on Virasoro constraints and can be even complex. Mm-hmm. So once I forget about, you know, that I actually wrote n-dimensional integral, I write for you Virasoro constraints, this is just PD, this is a parameter. You can make it complex. So you can do a lot of crazy stuff here, and this is interesting, but let me not concentrate on large N. It's extremely interesting field on its own. So let me now tell you, for example, another example of this Virasoro constraint, and this is something much less trivial.
So, can I ask a quick question? So, is the generalization of the Concevich Virasoro constraints with Concevich matrix model?
Well, I would like to stress that Concevich generalized what some other people did. So, absolutely, it's the same idea. The thing is, right, the idea is the following: you change whatever matrix integral you have, different fields, different matrices, you integrate, and typically you always have a full set of, you call them word identities. I mean, they're not necessarily Virasoro, they may form some W algebra, etc. But the idea that you trade a calculating of concrete integral for infinite set of word identities. And basically, I will now tell you that this is persistent phenomena in the gauge theories. The only thing is you typically have to deform Virasoro in a different direction. So let me give you a concrete example. And so let me take n equal to gauge theory. In 3D. I'm not going to discuss how the result is obtained. Just assume there exists certain gauge theories in 3D, which is coupled with adjoint math, adjoint chiral multiplet. Okay, of mass M. So if you calculate its partition function, then partition function would become the following. So I would have a typically contour integral. No, sorry, it's on. So for simplicity, R2 times S1. So, and I will do it equivalently on this guy. So I will come to compact manifolds later on, I will comment. So this is much simpler thing. So then I will have I from 1 to n. So this is un gauge theory. I mean, one can do for many other gauge theories. I'm just doing this for the sake of concreteness. So w 2 pi I wi. And then here I have to introduce for you some special function. So here we'll have I from 1 to infinity, wi over wj, q infinity. I will define everything, wi, wj, q infinity. So this special function zeta q infinity, this is what's basically called quantum dialogue. So this is function 1 minus zeta qn. And of course, for convergence, you have to assume this. Okay. So now here, my q is roughly E epsilon, and T is related to its exponent of this mass M, roughly. Okay. So you just do the things, you calculate this measure, and etc. And again, this measure from one side looks sort of very far away from the measure I wrote before, but in fact, you can easily reproduce this measure. So let me just write for you. So again, by itself, in calculating this integral is not that interesting. What you will do is that you will try to promote these guys by inserting basically a generating function. So I will write something like n from 0 to infinity, tn, wi n, I from 1 to n. This basically corresponds to calculating infinity many Wilson loops along this S1. So this is generating function. So if I want to calculate a Wilson loop, I will put a character here. But this is basically a generating function for all characters I can regard. So this is a physical explanation. Okay. But the question is, we would like to ask, can we get this measure by doing similar tricks we are doing here? So basically before, if I had this very elementary measure, Vandermonde, I did this and I would recognize that this is just expectation value. I mean, this is so. This guy is nothing as a phi of lambda I, phi of lambda j, right? So with this measure, you can also, in fact, realize similar things. The only thing now, you have to deform your Heisenberg. So let me try to write for you concrete formulas. So namely, what I can do, I can introduce, so I have parameters q and t, and I will write now an equal to qn over 2 minus qn over 2 tn. And minus and an will be 1 over n tn over 2 minus tn over 2 pn over 2 plus p minus n over 2 dtn. So let me skip the zero modes. And so what is important now that if I take this Heisenberg, so p is just p is tq minus 1. So this is just another parameter. I deform these guys, and this would definitely make a very drastic thing on my trick here. So even you typically do the things, you expand log, and you will get expansions. Here when I'm doing these deformations, I will get correspondent the exponent of this guy. Okay.
Your screening fit is the same?
No, I will deform it, but let me write it for you exactly. But formally, I can write it the same. I mean, it's qn over 2 minus q up to zero modes, which let me not discuss it. It all can be fixed. But what I can do, of course, I can take these guys and just shift them there. So I can tell you that my screening charge looks exactly the same. But so now if you will look basically, so what I'm saying is that if I will take two screening guys, lambda then my ordering will exactly bring me W over lambda Q. This is VST, and then there will be another term, lambda W, Q, etc. I mean, there will be some other terms, and but they are not important. Because basically here what effectively we'll start to do, instead of dealing with derivatives, we start to move to shift operators. Okay. So now what's going on here is that, of course, we would like to ask what's analog of those constraints, because we deformed Virasoro, and so what is going on? Where is the razor? Where is it over there?
Just because you made an intuition, I mean, the other naive scanning operator, the exponent is like the field x whose derivative gives you the current. Here, it's essentially if you take the discrete derivative, you get the current. That's the idea.
So right.
You shift over right. The stream.
So okay. The idea is the following.
Discrete
absolutely.
To some kind of discretization.
Absolutely. So before, roughly speaking, just to make a more comment to what you are doing, is that before, for example, in usual models, if I have a usual integral, so I can substitute these operators, mm-hmm. xn plus 1, and this is identically 0, etc. But, you know, this is what we always told, and this is why BV world should change. Because, for example, a lot of measures, when it's not the operators you have to substitute, you have to substitute these operators.
Mm-hmm.
And this operator, so what is dq? Dq of f of x, this is just the following, it's f of q of x minus f of x q, q minus 1 x. So this is q derivative, and of course if I sense, I do semi-classical limit, I get in there, right? Now, what is important that this vanishes under the integral, and this would vanish under the integral. So if I really will integrate, so what is important property of usual integral is that integral of this is zero. But if I integrate over line, this is also zero. Again, you have to discuss a bit what is q, because what you are doing is, I mean, you are a bit deforming the contours. There are some subtleties, but I mean, this is one of the ideas. You can substitute not only derivative operators, you can deform them and substitute there. And depending on what you have under the integral, certain measures, so certain measures like dx, certain measures like dq. And which one likes, then, you know, God knows. But definitely if you, I mean, that's my first comment about BV, is that, one should Q deform it.
You mean render it non-infinitesimal?
Huh?
You mean render it non-infinitesimal?
Right, right, absolutely. So instead of, very natural thing is that instead of just using derivative, for example, you replace by Q derivative. So many things remain the same. So this is, for example, if you wish, I'm highly oversimplifying the story, but this is a step, for example, from usual Virasoro constraint to this Virasoro constraint. So now there is exists a Q-deformed Virasoro constraint, which is another operator. So in fact, if you write as a differential operator, it's infinite order. So these guys also you can think as differential operator, but it's exponent of a differential operator. Okay, right, so let me... So you can construct operators. So you construct, so you have this object zeta of t, which is generating function of your gauge theory with all Wilson loops inserted. And eventually you can construct operator tn, which depends on t, zeta of t, equal to zero for n more than equal one. And these guys called Q Virasoro constraints. Constraints. Let me not write explicit formula for them, but let me give you a few hints. These operators which will have, they will be basically exponents of this derivative. So it's infinite order operator in Tn. But you can also understand this as a shift operator. And they typically satisfy this type of algebra. So this is all well studied. So I'm not telling you the original motivation why it was introduced. So it was introduced more than 20 years ago because of integrable systems, and then sort of didn't play much role. But so then there is some central extension, so some coefficient. So FL is just some expansion of some special functions. So the idea why it's Virasoro, if you actually take your Q and write as some H bar and expand it, then your Tn has some constant term plus H square of Ln plus some constant term, etc. So if you take this and write this algebra up to H square term, it's a Virasoro. Again, it looks very strange. So original motivation was totally different. It was related to integrable models. Okay. And in fact, also it's related to totally different subject, MacDonald polynomials. That was also was idea original. Okay. So in principle, what the upshot is the following: that you know, I took a more complicated model. It's a gauge model. Somehow we calculated the answer. I'm not discussing how we calculated this answer. And then we got, so we know that there is a representation in terms of free fields. The only price you have to pay that you have to deform these free fields. There is three free fields. And you have infinitely many constraints of Q Virasoro constraints. Okay. Any questions before I go to more?
Question: If I look at your propagator there, and I for a moment I just take the sum to be up to n, and I take q to be a root of unity, then what I get is the propagator for all before the models.
Well, q for unity I cannot take it because it will not converge.
No, but that's why you take the sum up to n,
right?
And you take q roots of unity,
right?
Then what you get is exactly the propagator for all before the boson. So if you take a boson and you open it, so there should be a link between people work.
Maybe, but you know, it's
because this is it looks like a infinite orb before.
I mean, maybe I can tell you it's, you know, all this array, it's a relatively recent thing. So, for example, just to mention to make it more sexy, so if I'm you know. So I got a 3D model. If you actually will take the screening charges which are out, and you will order them in slightly different way, and you will write infinity many of them, you will get Nekrasov partition function. That's a Peston result on, and Kimura result on. So they have this paper. It's called QRW algebras. So in a way, whatever objects that get engaged here after some work, they can write them in this form.
So is that for the next application function of which form are you
using? 5D. So the statement is the following. So it's if you will take R4 times S1 for UN gauge theory, and you will take basically exactly the same guys. The only thing you have to order them infinitely many. So if you do this properly and do some Jackson integral there, so some sums, then after so basically normal ordering, you will see that it will collapse to sum over Jahn tableaus. You will get Nekrasov result. So that's a statement. So it's written in paper by Peston and Kimura. So in a way, this is the same building blocks. I mean, you are using.
Can I ask you?
Yeah.
You have a similar question in the Q variable, along derivation along Q variable differential equation. A derivation with Q, some differential equation. Probably regular in H bar.
Sorry, I didn't get this Q.
I mean, just some the partition function.
Uh-huh.
Does it satisfy some kind of differential equations in the Q variable or H bar variable, for example?
In H bar, sorry.
Just the equation in the parameter, but in the H bar. Just a differential equation for that variable?
No, I don't have a differential question. H bar is just, you know, it's deformed. I don't have any equation in the H bar, sorry. Okay. So the thing is becomes even more interesting. I mean, in a way, the Riemannian story goes on that you take any gauge theory we know where we calculate the answer. We have to pack things sort of in a better way, and then eventually we can realize these things. Sorry, somebody trying to call me all the time. Okay. My son. Right. So let me just give you a bit more interesting example. And in a way, this is much better example because it's much better defined, etc. So now, instead of going doing the same theory, so I'm taking the same 3D theory, 3D gauge theory. And now I'm putting this on S3. So in this theory, one can calculate. So typically, again, one interested to calculate this on S3. And moreover, you would like to squash it. So it's not a round sphere. You're allowed to squash it. And so I would assume that my omegas are generic. So I would like there will be some peculiar things happens when they're rational, but generic, I mean, I would assume them generic irrational numbers. And so, for example, in these things I can put, if I calculate my theory, I can put, besides calculating partition function, I can also calculate the, you know, the Wilson loops. And the Wilson loop will be basically either a loop sitting over north pole of S2 or south pole of S2. So there's a generic, you know, Hopf fiber, but when I squash it, the only supersymmetric guy sitting there. So if I write my answer, then my answer will look as follows. So the, my partition function will be basically integral over IRN dnx. Then I will have I not equal to j. So then there will be xi minus xj omega s2 m plus xi xj omega. He keeps calling, okay, minus so this is terms related to, this is Sitchin-Simons term. This is what people call Falei-Leopoldis term. So S2, it's a special function. It's called double sine. So there is hierarchy of functions. So sine is a function which vanishes and zero and periodic. Then there is another function, S2. S2 is periodic up to sine. And then there is triple sine, etc. There is whole hierarchy of functions appearing. Roughly, this guy is composed of two copies of these guys, where Q is related in the same way, like it's related on modular double, basically. So this is a, I mean, object we will get. Again, it comes from gauge theory. It's basically using these techniques which Pestun developed. One can calculate this answer. And then, for example, here what would be interesting is that one would also have, one can put a Wilson loop. So one can put either, you know, character for one Wilson loop and character for another. That's the only exact results we can calculate. And instead of calculating every individual loop, so we can repack them and write them in terms of generating functions. And generating functions here will look as follows. So this would be plus Tn j 2 pi x n over omega 1. And then they will be the same exponent t n prime j 2 pi I x power n over omega 2. So I'm forced to introduce two variables generating because I can have a Wilson loop there and Wilson loop there. Okay. So what I get is eventually, if I look at this particular model, then all my exact results, so what I have my object zeta depending on set of t's and t primes. Okay. So it's a generating function of all possible supersymmetric objects, which we combine this way. I don't know what exactly it means physically. So instead of considering Wilson loop, we try to consider Wilson loops in all possible representations. We sum them up as certain object. But this object has incredibly nice things. So in a way, this integral would satisfy just two copies of these constraints. So I will have, I can introduce two Q-verus or algebras with different Q. So I will have Q1, T1, and I will have Q2, T2. And so if I write Q1, this would be I tau, and Q2 will be basically 1 over tau. I can put minus here. So I mean, that's why we call them modular double. So that's what was introduced by Fadeev, et cetera. And then one can prove that this guy is killed by these two independent things. So of course, this is operator only in one T's, and this is guy in another T's. So there are two commuting differential operators by construction, but they annihilate the same object. I mean, this is very unusual because, you know, there is effectively one integral. So it's not like, I mean, naively you would say that it's like gluing two holomorphic and anti-holomorphic things, but this is not the case. So this construction does not have a classical limit because the way you glue it. So important thing that actually everything works if Q's are related like this. So it does not work generically. So I cannot construct this integral, take whatever Virasoro here with different deformation parameters, such. I will not be able to write this answer. So for the proof, it's important that these parameters are related, particularly SL to zeta, so they're related by S transformations. So you see, again, I'm not telling you the story, I'm not telling you how to prove. You know, there is more complicated screening charges, there is effectively two copies, bosons, et cetera, et cetera. But the moral is the same. Eventually, after a lot of work, all whatever we got in gauge theory, we can write as a free field representation using two bosons here. And we can write infinity many PDEs, which is very hard to study. So at the moment, we don't know exactly how to study them. So we do have them explicitly, but of course, it's not as simple as in original Virasoro model. So it requires further study. But in principle, these two constraints have to tell you completely how to define this object, because this is, again, very complicated integral. It's not that easy to calculate. Okay, and the story goes on. So I don't want to discuss it. For example, if I want to consider certain 4D theories, then there is elliptic deformation, et cetera, et cetera. But somehow, if you work hard enough, there is always free bosons here. And the idea is that whenever you have a generating functions and you start to insert some operators, you're bound to have identifications with Heisenberg algebra, and you're bound to have some either Virasoro, it's deformation of Virasoro, something to do with this. And again, this is very powerful and nice technique. So let me just finish with a few remarks. So I promised to say something about BV, and so first very strange comment, which I don't know, but if you start to do these calculations, and in fact you can see that it's very natural in these integrals, instead of inserting derivatives, it's very natural to insert Q derivative. So why not in BV to do the same thing, right? So this is first comment. Second comment, some of the things, so I concentrated on Virasoro, but I could equally for you to write some n equal 1 algebra, n equal 2 algebra, etc. So whenever I would have integration over d and lambda, and for example, some whatever d and theta, etc. So then there is another operator I can start depending how my theta behaves, etc. There are other operators I can insert. Of course, typically in BV, you insert one particular operator, which is just BV operator. But in principle, I can insert different supersymmetrization of Virasoro, etc. In fact, BV is typically is embedded in different twisted versions of n equal 2. So I can do it, and in principle, if you set your model correctly, then it should give you a full set of constraints. Again, my comments are purely speculative, etc. But for example, in the vertex algebra guys, you can see easily. So if you have this type of measures, you know how to write these operators. I mean, how to write them in terms of derivative of theta and lambda, etc. And they satisfy correct algebras. I mean, without, of course, central extension. And there is also papers when you can exactly see how BV operators are embedded. So in a way, from this point of view, again, I'm concentrated for the moment only for finite dimensional integrals. When things are properly well defined, then you can, in principle, derive more type of constraints, and that's what can be very interesting. And also, moreover, here, so if before I was having these things, AN, AM, so I would have Heisenberg, then once I put theta, instead, of course, I can have now, I mean, my basically, again, my free fermions, etc. So it's very natural to have them. And of course, they will have a generating functions related to the thetas, etc. And again, once I will put a generating function in these guys, whatever I will put conditions here, if I correctly put a measure, I will bound to get n equal 2, n equal 1, Virasoro constraints, etc. Again, here a lot of nice things depends on the measure if you want to have a nice closed formulas, etc. So I think I have to finish here. I'm sorry that I talk so little about BV, besides some strange speculations. Thank you.
Questions?
I have a question about your wild speculation. Could you flesh it a bit more? What would you mean by making BV, replacing it with a different operator? Here you have the one complex variable. Do you have something in mind?
I don't have anything. It's nothing besides speculation. But you see, when you start to consider, so at some point people didn't care about it. So people had the standard matrix models and you insert just derivatives. Now in gauge theories, you started to get these measures, which is sort of, I mean, naturally related to QD form. So, before we had a logs exponent of logs, now we started to have, this quantum dialogue and stuff like this. So this is measures which nicely talk, I mean, with different operators. And
what would be the analogous in gauge, let's say, in the context of Alberto?
I mean, from gauge theory, there is one comment what people ask. I mean, BPA-CFT correspondence is correct, but you cannot always explain this properly from first principles. So, for example, if you ask me what's a string theory explanation that this concrete object satisfies these constraints, I have no clue.
I was about to ask that question.
No, I mean, this is unfortunate. So, for example, I mean, the same applicable to Peston result that he wrote a Nekrasov partition function, which is a priori sum, whatever, roof genus of modular space of, instanton, etc. And then he writes as a sum deformed. So I don't know. I mean, it's not clear. So of course there is this, all these ideas about Q deformed AGT, etc., etc. But this is
it's getting in that vein, so Q deformed AGT comes from the study of NS5 brains. It's morally clear how you see these algebras from
It's totally confusing. So moreover, what is also, when you start to do this calculation, there is another thing is that you start to see that difference between 3D and 5D is very symbolic. Because this is basically a truncation of 5D result. So if you give me 5D result, you just require I cut it here, then you get a 3D thing. So in a way, what we understand that 3D theories and 5D theories should come together, and you should not really separate them because you build answer from the same objects, etc. So for example, there is, you know, different. I mean, if you wouldn't have this, and if you actually start, I mean, you will add, for example, chiral multiplet in fundamental and start to actually do the integral by residuals, you will get a Jahn-Tablos, you will get part of Nekrasov result up to Jahn-Tablos of certain size, and that's it.
Just like when the size of the gauge goes to infinity, do you see everything?
Yeah, yeah, that's what people already made the claims exactly that. But there are claims in the literature that in fact you can send it. So there is typically you have to identify different, you know, rank of the group on one side and, you know, certain data on another side, and that's exactly what people do. But the thing is here, the only thing is there is no gravity. You just relate one gauge theory to another gauge theory, right?
Well, you
would put it
against my frame.
Right, yeah.
Which happens in holography too, when there's micro.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Anything else?
Could you elaborate on exactly what the correspondence between, like, in the pairs of theories? You said that there should be some relationship between something you calculate in a 5D and a 3D gauge theory, but, like, which, if I give you my favorite 5D or 3D gauge theory, can you tell me what the corresponding one is? Like,
well, what I'm told you is, for example, then, so in a way, what 5D? So I have 5D on R4 times S1. So I have two parameters here. I have typically equivalent epsilon 1, epsilon 2 here, beta. So typically people would call them Q, and I will call them T. Although, I mean, so there is here total symmetry here, in fact. Then in 3D, I would have, so this is un n equal 2 vector only. Here I will have R2 times S1 epsilon. Well, you can call it symbolically epsilon 1. And then I will have my Q and T. This is exponent of the mass. So now I have n equal 2 vector plus adjoint chiral of mass m. So for example, this is totally crazy if you think for a moment. Here Q enters as a coherent parameter on the plane, T as a mass, and there is no democracy between them. But there is, for example, representations of Q versus algebra, I mean, algebra does not change if you exchange Q and T. The thing is, when you look at this formula, you will never imagine this. If you look at this formalism, this is obvious because two coherent parameter centers in concrete way. So roughly speaking, the statement I'm saying, I'm oversimplifying it, the following thing, that if I take this answer and I truncate this answer by hand and identify parameters correctly, I will see this.
Vector here just means pure gauge theory?
Yes, pure gauge theory, absolutely. So if in principle you can see, if you just take the theory and naively reduce down to two dimensions, you will get vector plus, you know, massive chiral way.
Great. Well, let's thank Maxime again.